Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome in. We don't get Zach's traditional good morning because there is no Zach Jones here today. Derek Kramer here with you on a Buffalo Bills football Monday. It's brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. And the Extra Point Show, not just the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, but also the Catholic Health Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Bills football Monday, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com, and by Northtown Hyundai, Western New York's premier Hyundai dealership. Shop online at northtownhyundai.com. It's a different type of day. The Bills playing on Monday Night Football. Thank goodness, by the way, for the 7:15 start. I know that everyone's loving that. Why? Because 1 hour earlier means you get to go to bed 1 hour earlier if you can sleep. It depends on, well, how tonight's going to go. The Bills, 4-1, hoping to stay up in the upper tier here. It's kind of funny how this year, a lot of fans, it's always been about the one seed. Try to get the one seed. Do something different. Have the season be unique in a sort of way. And what happens? The Indianapolis Colts suddenly decide to be annoying. And they're sitting there at 5-1. Why? Because, of course they are. But they're impressive. There's a lot of teams around the league where we don't know just how good they are at this point. However, what I am looking at is the Colts do seem to be winning a lot of their games and keeping themselves ahead. Even if the Bills win, the Colts, if the season were to end today, would be the number one overall seed. Good for them. But we've got Bills and Falcons tonight, and I'm just ready for this one. Mostly because you want to get the bad taste out of your mouth from the previous Bills game where they lose to the Patriots in a frustrating manner. They turn the ball over 3 times. A little bit of uncharacteristically careless football from the Bills. And quite frankly, you want to be able to move on from that. You want to watch the next game because when you have a bad taste in your mouth, what's there to do? Try to forget about it by watching something else. And the Buffalo Sabres have done zero favors. So There's no escaping the bad taste in your mouth from last week's game, thanks to the hockey team. If you're a Jays fan, that yesterday didn't help. Vibes down all around here. It's kind of how it goes. And the injury report is obviously going to be something to keep an eye on as well. Hopefully there is something to it where the Bills are able to get through this thing with nothing too tough. And also, you get the bye week. A Bills win is going to be imperative here because the Bills played kind of poorly in two wins. Not poorly, but it wasn't your best game against Miami and New Orleans. So you started to see a little bit of a downward tendency happening. And then, of course, the other part of it is, if you head into the bye week with two losses and not playing great in two wins, it's a long time before you are able to get to the next game at Carolina before you can even try to start feeling better. So for the vibes, the Bills should win this one simply because of that. You want to see them be able to win, if only because it would be a long time through the bye week if you go through it and you don't get a victory there. Barnstrom injury report for tonight's game. It's brought to you by the Barnstrom. Injured for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Damar Hamlin, TJ Sanders, Matt Milano all out for tonight. While Hamlin and Sanders have also been placed on injured reserve, Curtis Samuel and Dalton Kincaid remain questionable for the Bills for tonight's game. And that's going to be interesting. I hope that you get Kincaid out of this one because of the fact that if you don't have him, you're probably losing the most consistent player in the passing attack as of late. Kincaid has caught 20 of his 24 targets on the year. And we'll see what happens there. We'll talk more about the offense, everything of it, in due time. But again, first and foremost, get a win tonight. Because going into the bye week without a win and without a good performance in a month's time is definitely a bad way to go into a bye week and not one that you want to even try dealing with. 803-0550 is the number to call. How are you feeling about tonight's game? If there's anything that you would want to look into for this one in particular, are you even just mad about the Sabres? Yeah, I know it's a Buffalo Football Monday, but the Buffalo Sabres are in action this afternoon as well at KeyBank Center against the Colorado Avalanche. Programming note for you on that one is that it's going to be on our sister station, The Bet 1520, as Brian Koziel will get you ready to go with pregame. I'm hoping, though, that the Sabres can even get a little bit back into the good vibes, too. Because it's a long time since we've had any sort of win from either Buffalo team. I say long time. It's been a week. By the way, face-off at 12:30 for the Sabres and pregame starting at 11:30 over on the Bet 1520. This is an interesting week, though, because you still really don't know across the league almost 6 weeks through who a great team in the NFL is anymore. And the Bills are part of that mix. The Bills are part of this hodgepodge of, are there any really dominant teams out there? And the answer is, I have no idea. And if anyone thinks they have an idea, they're probably biased, and that's okay. But the Eagles started 4-0. They've lost two straight. The Packers started incredibly, and all of a sudden they're 3-1-1. The Lions losing to the Chiefs last night while they were starting to get hot and they had won 4 in a row. Seattle, San Fran, and the LA Rams are all at 4-2 out west. That's going to be a division to watch all throughout the year, entertainingly so. And then there's Tampa. Tampa's sitting there at 5-1, and that is tied for the best record in the NFL. but they're also doing it in ways that are cardiac. They have 5 wins, but yesterday was the first time that they've gotten a victory and been able to kneel a game out in victory formation. Their previous 4 wins were all within a score. The Colts are probably another team that you look at this point with a 5-1 record. They've been winning against bad teams comfortably. Daniel Jones, for some reason, seems like he's actually figured it out. But then everyone else with 4 wins, I've got question marks all over. Jacksonville, how good are you really? Are you going to be able to keep this up and become a playoff team? The Chargers, the Broncos, both out in the AFC West. Chargers are a team that continues to charger things up and muddy their own waters. They had lost 2 in a row before. They have to win in the last minute against Miami, of all teams. So it seems like the shine on the Chargers has definitely faded as well. The Broncos are 4-2, but you had to beat the Jets 13-11? I don't know what you are. Especially on offense, you are inconsistent as hell. Especially through Bo Nix. The sophomore slump is there for him. The Broncos defense is legit, but also, I mean, again, 13 points against the Jets and that hapless Jets roster. And there's plenty we can talk about with the only winless team in the NFL, but that's for another day. But then there's even the Bills and the Steelers at 4-1, the Bills obviously playing tonight. Pittsburgh, I can't get any sort of gauge on. I don't know how good they really are. They're just this middling team that just happens to win games in a semi-comfortable way, but then at the same time, they don't do it in any sort of exciting way. They don't score a lot. And yet at the same time, their defense is good, but it's not great. It should be better for all the money that they pay for that defense. But it's not dominant. Like, congratulations, you beat up on Dylan Gabriel and the Browns yesterday. Am I supposed to give you a medal for that? I don't know. The Steelers are just a team that I don't know what you are. I have zero idea what you really are. And now, as of late, that's become the Bills. A team that we talk about every day. And yet we still don't really know what they are. In terms of across the league, the Bills are the same as everybody else in terms of the upper echelon of the NFL. I have no idea what you really are. And I know that it's going to be more of a confirmation bias than anything else right now based on how they've been playing. It's either, oh, they're just going to lose in January again. Let's fire the coach. Or it's, they're 4-1. Everything's looking good. Everything's fine. Everything is going to be okay. They're a playoff team. They're going to win the division, yada, yada, yada. Even with a team squarely in their rearview mirror in the New England Patriots, the Bills still should be the favorite to win the division. Both New England and Buffalo play ridiculously easy schedules for the course of the season and have opportunities to win the division. New England's got the leg up now because of the fact that the Bills have a divisional loss and it's against New England. And I don't see the Dolphins or Jets beating either of these teams anytime soon. But the frustrating part about the Bills is, again, who are you really? Are you the team with the high-flying offense that's able to dominate opponents and at least do enough to where if the defense struggles, you're able to get away with it and comfortably? Are you the team that was gashing points left and right against Baltimore? Are you the team that just survives halfway decent play, still puts up 31 points, and still could have done better. There's still a lot of answers that we need to find out about the Bills. And, of course, another one of those chances is tonight. This defense is playing better. You saw the game against New England, and I don't really know how you can blame the defense for most of the troubles in this game. Yeah, they got gashed by Drake May and Stephon Diggs. Drake May looks like he's it. The guy has woken up in his second season and has decided, I'm going to show the NFL what I've got. So I don't know if I can really blame the Bills defense for trying to slow down a player who's looking like a good quarterback. Because now you get an Atlanta offense that they're not scoring as successfully despite having top-end talent. And hopefully, all you can do at this point is hope that the offense is back and finds form. Won't be easy. You're facing the best defense in the NFL in terms of yards per game allowed. Best passing defense. I think they're 16th in the run, so I'd imagine the Bills getting back to successfully running the football will be a great help to any sort of balance this team can have. Because the Bills want to run the football. And last week definitely showed that. But you hope for the opportunity here to see what the Bills can do. And show us what you are. In a league where you don't know who anybody truly is right now. To a point where the Chiefs are back. Annoyingly so. But the Bills have a chance tonight to show what they are, which is, hopefully, with a win tonight, one of three teams with five wins. That's a nice thing to be able to put out there. One of the teams with the inside track on the one seed, because they do keep winning. If they lose one game against New England, that's one thing. But this is an opportunity against a tough defense to show in a national stage, once again, show people what you actually are and what you should be. That's the opportunity that they have tonight to bounce back. You got punched in the mouth. You haven't played well in three straight games. Now here's a chance for you to go to the bye week, get healthier, and go away with it. Again, with the inside track on the one seed, once again. Because we don't know what many teams across the league are, including the Kansas City Chiefs, who last night, annoyingly so, they beat the Lions. Are the Chiefs back? I mean, I guess that's... I feel like that's the wrong way to answer it, because I think that they're never gone until they're actually gone. The Ravens are gone this year. If Baltimore storms back into a playoff race, that's, are the Ravens back? The Chiefs never left. They just started 0-2. Against the likes of the Chargers and the Eagles. But here they are sitting at 3-3. Third in their division. But also kind of showing a little bit of that annoyingly good football team that we have despised for years. Kansas City being there and quote-unquote back, I'm not openly concerned. If the Bills want to actually beat the bugaboo, well, there's going to be probably opportunity to do that. Especially if the season goes the way that it's going, the Bills will be a higher seed and the Chiefs will be lower. That would mean that the Chiefs probably at some point show up to Highmark Stadium in the postseason. It's how these things go. I'm not scared necessarily of the Chiefs in the playoffs. I guess I could say that I'm scared of the Bills in the playoffs because this is who they are. This is what they do in the past. But I'm also the type of person that does not believe that what happens in the past is guaranteed for the future. If you beat the Chiefs in the regular season, big whoop, do it again. If you lose to a team in the regular season, that does not mean that the rematch in the playoffs is going to go that way. Look at Baltimore. Almost every single year, look at Baltimore. Big whoop, do it again. It's a weird season already. And there's a lot of time that is going to have to go in through it between now and the start of the playoffs. But again, tonight that the Bills have a chance to at least be on the top of the questionable pile of what is this year. What is this year? What's everyone doing? Why is everything so confusing? And if you want any escape from the Bills and how questionable this year has been, unfortunately, I can't point you to the hockey team right now because their first two losses of the year have been incredibly maddening. The Patriots, how good are you really? The Steelers, I don't see a convincing win in their entire schedule right now. The Chargers and the Broncos, can you hold off Kansas City for a claim at the division title? The Chiefs themselves, they're at 3-3, so they're behind everybody, but they seem to be trending upward. And the Bills and the Colts. The Colts at this point, I'm done questioning the Colts. The Colts are a good roster. They're showing bad teams that they're bad. I mean, granted, the Cardinals stay in it throughout yesterday, so what do we all really know? But the Colts keep winning games. And if the Bills beat Atlanta, they can fall into that category of, well, they just keep winning games. They just keep winning games. What are they going to do when the playoffs hit? Well, they'll probably just keep winning games. Or they won't. But the way that the season goes is if you keep winning games, that's what you're seen as, because that's what you do. Hopefully the Bills are able to do that today and allow everyone to go into the bye week happy. That's the big point here, and that's the big picture in this game. 803-0550 is the number to call. Bills and Falcons, 7:15. Kickoff tonight, by the way, and we'll have all of the pregame coverage going on all day long here on WGR. And again, the programming note, pregame for the Buffalo Sabres against the Colorado Avalanche at 11:30 on our sister station, the Bet 1520. We come back, we'll look more into this matchup, what the injury to Dalton Kincaid might be in terms of potential consequences if he does.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Doesn't suit up tonight, as well as facing the top defense in the NFL.
Defense, you know, multiple first round picks offensively, and then certainly talented defensively, rushing the passer, and so offensively, Bijan, the quarterback panics, and Drake London, what he can do, and so they can beat you in a lot of different ways and become explosive very quickly, and then they're able to, you know, possess the football much like our offense does, and so we've got to make sure that we can get off the field and third down and get the ball back to our offense.
Head coach Sean McDermott getting ready for tonight's game against the Atlanta Falcons, mentioning some of the higher end talent that the Falcons do boast as Monday Night Football 7:15 start for this game as part of the doubleheader. Thankful that it's the early portion, not the late one. Very happy for that. Love that for not just me, but for everybody involved. But also especially for me, because I'm going to be here until 2 a.m. So let's get after it. Here on a Buffalo Bills Football Monday, it's brought to you by Northwest Bank for what's next. Get started at northwest.com. Derek Kramer here with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show as we close out week 6 here in the NFL. Bills Falcons tonight. I just want to see the Bills playing football again simply for the reason of get the bad taste out of your mouth from New England. Also, I learned this one. We're on video today. And nobody told me in that first segment. That's fun, but that's okay. Sometimes you deal with the surprises. Good thing I don't look like a total bum out here today. Maybe. Bills and Falcons. I think there's going to be another game where it's, you don't love what you see most of the time. You're stressed out, but I do think the Bills should be able to win this game. Yeah, the Falcons' defense has been great. They are tops in the league in yards allowed per game. Best pass defense in the NFL. But here's where I think you can get them. They are 16th in yards per game against the run. Considering what happened to the Bills in the rushing attack against New England, I would imagine Joe Brady wants to get things back on track in terms of a balance. He likes running the football. He likes having that balance there. He likes being able to utilize those three tight end sets or utilize having Gilliam in the backfield or really just trying to allow James Cook to, well, cook. I also think there might be something to it that helps shift a little bit of the decision-making. And that's on the Barnstrom Injury Report. It's brought to you by the Barnstrom. Injury for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. That player is Dalton Kincaid. He draws a questionable tag. He had a non-contact jersey throughout practice this week with an oblique injury. With the bye week coming up, they might limit his snap share if he's active tonight. And I do think that Kincaid has been the most consistent player on this team in terms of getting open, making plays for a Bills offense that has needed another one of these co-stars. He hasn't ascended to what I would call James Cook's level of stardom, so to say. But he is definitely emerging as that next face. If you were to put a movie poster up there with Josh Allen, obviously, with the biggest image front and center, James Cook is on there. Dalton Kincaid is probably the next piece I'm putting on there right now, at least with how this season has started for him. And last week was probably his most productive game, 6 catches on 6 targets, 108 yards. But it does seem like he's making timely plays at minimum every week. The New Orleans game, he has 1 catch. What is it, though? 28-yard touchdown that helps put the game away against the Saints, who'd been punchy. Punchy against the same New England team that beat Buffalo last week, by the way. But Kincaid has been great at separating. He's great at getting open. He is making plays. He's moving the football. And he's coming away with at least a 20-yard catch in almost every game. The Jets game was just a mess. You didn't need him at that point. But he even still gets 4 catches, 37 yards that game. I'm wondering what Kincaid's status is like for game day. I wonder if there's anything to do with him being inactive. And if it does it change what Buffalo wants to do? Well, first of all, they won't be able to run as many of their beloved 3 tight end set, because Kincaid has been punishing teams when they do run this 13 personnel. He is the player that can get them open, create a mismatch, create disadvantages for the defense, because when you see 3 tight ends, you want to play bigger. You're abandoning a nickel defense, which is a base now in the NFL. And you're probably putting in an extra linebacker. Dalton Kincaid's getting open. Or you go ahead and you stay in nickel and you let the Bills run over you with 3 tight ends, especially with how Jackson Hawes has been blocking to open the year. Kincaid is fascinating to me. Even injured, I do think he can make an impact in this game. Maybe he might be one of those players that he's active for the game and he acts more as a decoy. But I obviously hope that Kincaid's injury does not linger. The bye week is able to help him get through it and get over it and try to come back out the other side. It is interesting, though, to me that the Bills are going to need this early bye week. They have a lot of injuries. They got a couple players on IR. They sent 2 more. But now you have a chance to go into the bye week, heal up, hopefully at 5-1, and create more opportunities for yourselves. The Falcons defense. Let's talk about the Falcons defense a little bit here. They are the top team in the league in terms of yards per game allowed, passing yards per game allowed. They're middle of the pack in rushing defense, but they are still a great defense right now to start the year. And it starts with the safety play from them. God, am I jealous of this. Jesse Bates is fantastic. And they draft Xavier Watts and Billy Bowman. Bowman, I do know, was on the Bills' radar to be like a 4th-round pick or something of the sorts because of the fact that they had him in for pre-draft visits. They clearly were interested in the Oklahoma product in Bowman. Both of them have been fantastic, though. Watts has 2 picks on the year out of Notre Dame. Bowman has an interception. They both have tackles for losses on the year. It does seem like they are kind of helping lead the charge a little bit, more so, I think, more impactfully than their first-round pass rushers. Jalen Walker, and I blanked on the other one for some strange reason on that, but James Pierce Jr. Their rookie defensive class does look like it's making a bit of an impact already. And while I'm jealous, I also know that it's not necessarily at the fault of the Bills because of the fact that you can't really look at injuries as a valid excuse why the class is not making an impact right away. I can look at, for example, how Landon Jackson's played only 16 snaps through 5 weeks. That's not great. That's not a great look on the draft class. Deion Walker has been better. But I do think that if the Bills manage to grab a Watts or a Bowman and help out the safety position a little bit, that would be nice. It would be nice, is all I'm saying. But this defense runs through Jesse Bates on the back end. He is rangy. He is athletic. He can do it all still. And now they have Watts, who was the defensive rookie of the month in the NFC. And with good reason. He's second on this team with 23 tackles, 4 pass deflections, 2 interceptions. He's everywhere on this field. So if the Bills are going to try to attack a little bit through the air, they do have to be careful of the back end with Bates, Watts, and even Bowman rotating in. But typically, when I see safeties in the top 3 for tackles for a defense, that also tells me that things do not go smoothly for them. That means that they're kind of picking up the pieces. They're letting a lot of things get to the third level. They're letting plays break a little bit. At the very least, to a point where the safeties have to come down. And it's especially in the run game where that happens. So the Bills have an opportunity here to try to mess with Atlanta, get back to establishing a strong run game, especially after you got punched in the mouth against New England. And I do think that that's something they want to get done today. If they have Kincaid, they have Kincaid. If they don't have Kincaid, I still think they're going to try to get this done no matter what, if he's in the lineup or not. We all know that Joe Brady wants balance in his offense. Here's your opportunity to do that. And if you are going to try to make plays through the air, just watch out on the back. Jonas Sanker was fantastic for New Orleans a couple weeks ago. Comes away with a couple pass deflections as well as an interception. So these rookie safeties are apparently something to mess with. Probably not. But either way, the Bills, on paper, they have the better team. They have the better opportunity. They should be able to get themselves back on track here. You know something else that's really good, though, about this game? And I think I'm going to turn to Joe Cali about this one because it's a look good, feel good, play good kind of moment here. Joe, uniforms tonight are going to be peak aesthetics. And the last time we got peak aesthetics, we got probably one of the best games of the week with Tampa Bay and Seattle.
Yeah, the away creamsicles, right? They wore the whites.
This game has an opportunity to be peak.
It does. I really like the AFL throwbacks the Bills wear, the white ones. They used to, if I'm not mistaken, or at least it's in Madden, they have the home ones too, with like the brighter blue, yep. Like the more baby blue almost. So anytime they wear these old ones with the different patterns on the sleeves, it's always interesting. So, and I do like the standing buffalo. I've grown up with the charging buffalo, so like that's just, I guess, what I prefer. But, you know, I do like the standing buffalo, change it up a little bit. They're able to get around a lot of the uniform rules, like even last week with the helmets,
yep.
How they're able to have the red helmet, because they're just re-decaling the same helmet. So it's technically not a different helmet. So
correct.
Like the number rules of how many helmets you're able to have and not doesn't really apply to them, which is cool. So I'm always for an alternate uniform. You know, I wear that Toronto Series navy blue home jersey around all the time, too. So maybe we'll see the navy blues come back one day. But, yeah, it does have the opportunity to be a very, very good game. The Falcons in their red helmets, their throwbacks. So it'll be cool. And the dome will be open, which is cool. Roof will be open. Do you see how that opens?
I did.
Like the video of it?
I'm not going to be a child about this.
Well, it's... I'm not trying to be. It's just... It's interesting
it's
how...
me. I'm the problem.
It like unfolds and everything like that. Like it's not... Could they have done something like that here, I wonder?
Probably not. I think that the snow does make not only having a dome, but especially one that can open...
Mm-hmm.
It would make it tougher.
Because
You got to think about the cost of heating that thing, making sure it doesn't collapse through the heavy snow. Atlanta doesn't have those problems.
Yeah.
Minnesota has a dome, but it's not going to open.
Right. I feel like that would have been the middle ground, I guess, just thinking hypothetically, not in real life, but for people who want the dome versus not.
And Minnesota created a dome that birds run into. So, to hell with you on that design, I guess. Maybe you saved money a little bit, and the cost is a few birds.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, but it should be a very good uniform matchup. It's nice that it's in primetime, too, so everyone will get to see that.
I can't open this up to Joe Kelly without wanting to open it up to Owen Parker, though, too, as well, with the uniform matchup peak. I love Atlanta when they do that red helmet. It is one of the best looks in the NFL. And then the Bills just counter with, hey, we're going to go standing Buffalo tonight. And that's something that you love to see.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great-looking matchup. I always am entertained. It just adds another level of, like, aesthetic pleasure to watching a football game. And I think that it matters for a lot of people. If you look good, I think more people tend to watch and tune in and all that. So, I mean, it's going to be a great matchup on the field, you know, looking past the uniforms themselves. So it should be an awesome matchup tonight.
We all know the saying, look good, feel good, play good.
Yes, sir.
I don't ever look good, therefore I will never play good, ultimately.
You play pretty good at the 11-day power play. To give yourself some credit
there. Well, that is because my hockey aesthetic is far better than what this is.
Fair.
My face.
Fair enough.
So that is part of it. I do make sure that I look good on the ice. But yeah, look good, feel good, play good. I know that that doesn't ever correlate to anything. But last week's game between the Bucks and the Seahawks tells me that we should have another one of those games.
Yeah.
I'm hoping for a little bit of a calmer game, but I also would not mind if it does turn into a little bit of a shootout, even with both of these defenses ranking in the top 10 in yards per game.
I wouldn't be surprised if it starts to run away from both these defenses, because there are weaknesses on both defensive units that I think the opposing offensive group can expose.
So exactly.
I'm ready to see some points scored tonight.
Yeah, you got to look at the over-under, and I would take the over.
I'm on the over already, yep.
And you guys did the parlay. I didn't hate both of your legs, even though you're 0-5, Owen. That's tough. But, hey, you got to break it at some point. That's the thing.
It needs to happen.
That's the thing. You're not the Jets. We're not going winless. No. I already know it. I believe in you.
It's impossible.
So there it is. And the pass defense for the Falcons, while I do respect it, I know that they haven't played a Josh Allen yet.
Right.
That's the other part of it. I know that's arrogant to say. I can at least admit that that's arrogant to say. But you frustrated J.J. McCarthy out of the lineup and hurt him. You faced Marcus Mariota. Bryce Young looks good, at least as of late. And the game against Atlanta was one of those. Baker Mayfield. You tried limiting as much as you could there before the dam broke at the end of that game. Josh Allen is a lot more athletically gifted than any of the quarterbacks that they have faced so far. And that's something that is going to be worthy of watching as well. 803-0550 is the number to call. Alan, I've got you there on hold. Stick around on the other side of this break, and we'll get to you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
on the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back in. Last segment here of the Extra Point Show. And on a Buffalo Football Monday, it's the Catholic Health Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Bills Football Monday. Presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. And by Northtown Hyundai, Western New York's premier Hyundai dealership. Shop online at northtownhyundai.com. Derek Kramer here with you. No Zach Jones today. No Sal Capaccio in the studio. Sal will be coming up next here as we get ourselves ready for Bills and Falcons. 7:15 kickoff this evening on the doubleheader for Monday Night Football. 803-0550 is the number to call as we get connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We go to Alan. Alan, how you doing? What you got for us?
Hey. Good morning. I just want to make a couple comments. I don't know if you brought this up. Clark, their starting corner, is out tonight, and that's huge. I think he's better than the other guy. And their pass defense, Mariota put a lot of yards up against that team. Imagine if Jaden Daniels played, they'd have won that game. And Bryce Young, I mean, they beat him 30-0. And Bryce Young had a really good day that game. And Baker had a good. So quarterbacks are really. Who do they? No, there's somebody else they beat. I don't remember who else they beat. But the thing with tonight's game, I think there's going to be a lot more Bills fans. There's probably going to be, I read an article, about 40% of the crowd should be Bills fans tonight. And that'll be a huge in the Bills' favor. If you ever know, the last time we played in Atlanta, it was the same way. And then 2 weeks from now in Carolina, I think more than half the crowd will be Bills fans there. So that'll play into our hands. But my other point is this. I think the spread is up to 5. I saw that the spread is up to 5. So the bettors are starting to see, okay, this team needs this game now. And urgency is always there. And every time there's urgency, I think you see the Bills' good team come out. But I think with Oliver back, it's going to be huge. And I'm not really sold on their defense because it's hard to believe. Maybe you could guys shed light on this. How are they the top defense when you had Mariota and Bryce Young put up and Baker put up some big numbers on them, you know, big yardage on them? So it's kind of maybe misleading in one because I know teams can run on them. But I'll hang up and listen to you. Take care.
Thanks, Alan, and I appreciate the call. Sometimes yards per game is a bit of a misnomer. It's also based off of sometimes turnovers because you might not be allowing a lot of yards on a scoring drive if, for example, Michael Penix has turned the football over, which he did a lot of against Carolina. So the Panthers were able to hang 30 points on them. Those stats are able to survive a little bit. For reference, the Bills, their defense is now 7th in terms of total yards per game allowed. And after week one, I think nobody would have seen that coming. But the Jets game helped boost those numbers. That's what happens. In terms of points per game, it is a little different for them. I don't have the exact number of where they are sitting in terms of that. But also, you have not played your 5th game yet, so you're not necessarily what I'd call on even ground. The way you can frustrate Atlanta is actually through their offense and through their quarterback. And that's something that you should be able to
hopefully do as the defense played better last week against New England. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back on the other side. Sal Capaccio joins us on the other side of this break. He's in Atlanta getting ready to go for this one here. This is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. You're listening to WGR. Welcome back. Hour number two here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We bring in Sal Capaccio as he is in Atlanta getting ready for tonight's game between the Bills and the Falcons. Sal, good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. How are you? Welcome to a Monday night football night here in Atlanta, Georgia.
And it's not very often that the Bills get to go to a place like this. They'll have the open roof today for this game for the Mercedes-Benz Dome. Sal, how's it been looking at it? Have you had a chance to at least go inside and check it out here on the weekend so far, or are we not getting that opportunity until later tonight?
No, we don't go to the stadium until later. So I'll be there about 3:30, I think, is when. Just right now, getting some work done here, and we'll head over to the stadium a little bit later.
Hey, I'm sure we'll get all the sights and sounds though from you before and of course all throughout this Monday night game. Sal, Bills, Falcons, Buffalo has a chance to at least stay on the inside track of the AFC. There's a lot of four-win teams out there around the league, but I'm really starting to get to a point where I don't know who's good anymore, and it's across the entire league. If the Bills drop this game, they kind of throw themselves right back into that hodgepodge of, okay, how good are you really?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a big game for the Bills and the New England Patriots and everybody else in the AFC. I mean, if the Bills lose this game, they suddenly fall to second place in the division. Right now, they are obviously sitting atop at 4-1. The Patriots are 4-2, but the Patriots have head-to-head. So the Bills fall to 4-2. Patriots not only pass them in the division, but obviously in conference seeding. So the Bills would drop to the 5 or 6 seed right now. Or even 7, I guess, because New England's currently at the 7. So it's pretty wild swing rate right there when you think about it. But a lot of football to be played. But sure, I mean, I think a lot is riding on, you know, tonight as far as the standings are concerned this early in the season.
Sal, before we get to anything necessarily about this game itself, I got to ask you about the uniform matchup tonight. I love when the Falcons do the red helmet with that old school logo. I love that uniform combo. And then the Bills going with the standing buffalo just to match it with some timeless, I would say, uniform aesthetics.
Yeah, for sure. Bills are going with their old AFL throwbacks tonight. Falcons going with their red helmets they wore when I was a kid growing up. And, you know, it should be really interesting tonight to kind of see that uniform matchup. I like it. It's a little bit different from Monday Night Football for the showcase. It'll be the early Monday Night Football game. There are two games tonight. They'll be simultaneous, but starting an hour apart, the Bills and Falcons at 7:15, and then at 8:15 is Bears Commanders. So a little bit of a double dip here for the NFL.
Sal, let's get right to it, though, with the Barnesfirm Injury Report. It's brought to you by the Barnesfirm. Injured for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. What do we got for the Bills here heading into tonight's contest?
Well, we know the team just put both Damar Hamlin and TJ Sanders, safety and defensive tackle, respectively, on injured reserve. So they're out for a minimum of 4 games. And I mean, could be, you know, who knows, even more longer term. Sanders, according to Sean McDermott, is going to have some sort of procedure on his knee. He didn't rule him out for later in the season, but it doesn't sound as promising for Damar Hamlin. This could be long term for him. So that puts the Bills at 51 players on their active roster. The Bills do have 2 players coming off suspension, Michael Hoyt and Larry Ogunjobi, but that's not until after this game. So they can't play tonight. This is the final game they'll miss. So we'll see about, you know, how they do the roster maneuvering. It probably is just going to be those 2 guys added in. Then you're at 53. But for tonight, we still don't know about Dalton Kincaid, who's questionable with an oblique injury, or Curtis Samuel, who's questionable with neck and ribs listed. So we'll see. The inactive list will come out at 5:45 p.m. tonight. So no indication right now. Sean McDermott said he wanted to see kind of how both Kincaid and Samuel looked on Saturday and get a through when they went through practice. I guess the encouraging news on Kincaid specifically would be that he did practice all week. Although in a red non-contact jersey, he did practice all week. Curtis Samuel did miss a day of practice, but was limited on both Thursday and Saturday.
Sal, when it comes to this game and with the injury report there, there's a name that is not on there, and it looks like it is going to be at least now more certain. The return of Ed Oliver into this lineup for the Bills defense, a monster game against the Ravens, one of the main catalysts for that comeback victory in week one, now finally returning back to the lineup, where his three tackles for loss, Sal, are still tied for second highest on the Bills. So his impact is probably going to be largely welcomed in a big way tonight.
Yeah, for sure. I think at Oliver, they've really missed him, obviously. You know, the run defense numbers are not good right now. You know, the Bills have struggled to stop teams. But even against the Ravens, obviously, the Ravens put up a big number running the ball, and Ed Oliver was in that game. But he's the only one that really made some, you know, really big plays, I guess, in the run game, including the forced fumble for the Bills in that game. But that being said, I think more than anything, what Ed Oliver does, he allows the team and other players to be able to perform different roles and do different things that they need them to do. You know, you don't have really an interior penetrator without Ed Oliver. And when you bring Fedarian Mathis and Zion Logue, when those guys get called up like last week, those are more like run stuffing pluggers, and they don't have an interior presence, you know, to rush the passer. And then even then, against the run, somebody who might command a double team, even though he's a little smaller, sometimes teams do that to Ed Oliver with bigger players, which frees somebody else up. So I just think that getting him back will be a really big boost, especially maybe in the pass game, where Michael Penix, the young quarterback for Atlanta, he really isn't the most mobile, Derek, and I think that if you can get him off his spot and with some interior penetration, if Ed Oliver can, you can get him to move left or move right. He's a left-handed quarterback, by the way. I think that would be a real big benefit for the Bills to try to force him into mistakes.
Sal, when it comes to it with Oliver returning, I think this is also a big game for him himself. Oliver is typically a player that is marred with inconsistency from time to time, but we do know that he has the ability in him. A couple of years ago, he was fantastic. He gets the big contract extension because of it, and now you just want to see him put it together. The start of that week one with him probably looked toward, hey, maybe we've got that old Ed Oliver back thanks to the additions on the defensive front. Oliver coming back now hopefully can help him with the consistency in how dominant he can really be.
Yeah, for sure. He does need to be more consistent. I think that game against the Ravens was a real big indicator of how, you know, much of an impact Ed Oliver can have. Even though the Bills didn't win the game, we know that. He was a guy that made a difference, you know, on the defensive side, and especially that big play he made towards the end of the game. And you do need to see more of that. And honestly, Derek, he had a really good preseason, really good camp. And I thought that, you know, he was coming into this year maybe poised to maybe have his best season as a pro. And it's just super unfortunate that he got stepped on in practice a couple of days later, and now he's missed four games. So, yeah, I think the consistency needs to be there. Now, I am wondering tonight, like he said, he's feeling a lot better. He kind of said he's not totally 100%, so you hope that he's still impactful enough. We'll see the snap counts. We'll see how impactful he is. But to get a full practice in on Saturday, to be totally off the injury report, is great news for the Bills and for him.
It is, and I think that the Bills defense is going to like having someone there that can be a little bit more disruptive. You mentioned Penix is not the most mobile of quarterbacks. He's also been, speaking of the inconsistency thing, Penix has been okay for the Falcons through four games. He is not very mobile, as you mentioned. He's only got 31 rushing yards on the year, and he can be frustrated. He can be a player that you can get to, especially when this team has top-end talent like Kyle Pitts, Drake London, and Bijan Robinson. The weak link is the second-year quarterback who still has to find a groove to his game.
Yeah, for sure. He's only had 7 starts under his belt. This is his 8th start I think he's making tonight. So, you know, it's a guy. And look, the Bills, they are traditionally under Sean McDermott and this defensive staff. Yes, I know that, you know, they've had their problems defensively at times in certain games and against the run. But against younger quarterbacks, they've done a good job. Against inexperienced quarterbacks, they've done a good job. McDermott does a good job of, you know, mixing things up, confusing, and you hope you can do that. Penix is going to rely on Bijan Robinson a lot. There's going to be a run game, I think. They're going to give the ball to Bijan quite a bit. He has no fewer than 18 touches in any game. I expect him to get 20 to 25 touches in this game against the Bills tonight. He's got a really great tight end in Kyle Pitts. He's got a great receiver in Drake London. For the Falcons, by the way, they are missing Darnell Mooney. He is not playing in this game with a hamstring injury. He's more of their deep threat. So that takes away a little bit of what they can do downfield. But yeah, you're right. Michael Penix is a young quarterback. The Bills will look to confuse him, and I expect them to have a lot of different things dialed up.
Yeah, you mentioned that Mooney is out, and I was going to get to that. Of they don't really have a second player on the perimeter. They have three players with over 200 yards. It's Pitts, London, and Robinson. Bijan leads his team in rushing and receiving. So I do think this is going to be an important game for the Bills linebackers when it comes to Bijan flaring out or getting himself open, creating opportunities in the passing game. Because there have been games this season where Bijan Robinson's been kind of, you know, not really been able to get things going in the running game, but also still breaks it open with a couple passes out of the backfield.
Yeah, he has two 100-yard receiving games, right? So this is a guy you have to be aware of no matter where he is. I'm very interested on how the Bills are going to defend the Falcons as far as nickel or base, because they run so much. Do they run base? But because they're so good and talented with their skill position players, do they run more nickel? It's not that the Falcons won't like try to bully you with a huge heavy personnel as much. They do run 12 personnel, but they don't really throw to their second tight end as much at all, really. So I wonder if the Bills just stay in nickel and, you know, maybe bring in base when the Falcons want to go even heavier than that. So we'll see. It's going to be a good matchup, you know, to kind of watch that and see how often the Bills do that. And when they do that, you know, we don't even know. Is it Dorian Williams, who, by the way, he's playing as well. He's off the injury report. The Bills are without Matt Milano tonight, as we know. But Dorian Williams will play. And then Shaq Thompson as well. So, you know, you do have, you wonder, and I wonder, I should say, has Shaq Thompson kind of taken a little bit more of that lead role as a backup will linebacker, or is it still Dorian Williams and you bring Shaq Thompson in more on the base defensive side?
Sal Capaccio joining us here on the Wester Hotline. Bills, Falcons tonight, 7:15 for the first leg of the doubleheader on Monday Night Football. Sal, I mentioned this. We've talked about this probably since Thursday about, you know, my gravitation toward Dalton Kincaid, the fascination that's been going on with him. And, of course, getting through those practices, he is questionable tonight. I am curious to know that if he's not able to perform at his usual level, who do you think needs to step up in the receiving game or in the passing game in order to help out with if Kincaid is limited in any capacity tonight?
Well, if he is, you know, if there's a possibility he doesn't even play, right? I mean, there's that possibility, then they would probably, they would elevate Kaliki Latu most likely to be an extra tight end. But you are taking away a significant piece of your passing game, obviously, if Dalton Kincaid either can't play or isn't, you know, his full self. And in that case, you look at a guy like Curtis Samuel, look at a guy like Elijah Moore, but Curtis Samuel is also questionable. So it doesn't have to be from the tight end room, right? I actually think it could come from the running backs, to be honest with you, Derek. Mm-hmm. We have not seen Ty Johnson really I think he has one catch this year, right? In the year, I have to go back and look at his stats.
But catch.
I mean, like last year, he was such a big part of the passing game. And there's only one football. And with Dalton Kincaid performing well and grabbing, you know, targets, that's less for a running back that would might be a matchup against a linebacker. So maybe this is a game where if Dalton Kincaid isn't his usual self, then maybe it's the running backs. Maybe it's Ty Johnson and James Cook, who are a big part of the passing game and taking up a little bit of that slack.
Sal, you mentioned that with James Cook, and last week was the first time this season that we saw the Bills' run game get stifled. I wouldn't necessarily say they struggled. I thought that New England just played it really well, and they were not able to run the balance that they do really love under Joe Brady here. You have a chance, though, tonight against the Falcons team that is kind of middle of the pack in terms of stopping the run in order to try to find a little bit more of that balance and get back to what this offense likes to do best.
Yeah, I think that this is a game, too, where you have to, let me just give you this number. The Falcons, they blitz at a very high rate. They are close to 44% from what I read some of the analytics sites and stats at NFL Pro. And they blitz at 44%. That's a very high number. It leads the league. So on 44% of dropbacks by the opponent, the Falcons are bringing extra pressure. They're bringing guys. So that's a part of the reason why they're very good at getting to the quarterback. They actually are top 10 in the league in sacks per pass attempt. They're top 10 in the league in interceptions per pass attempt. They're getting the quarterback. They're forcing quarterbacks to make mistakes. They also, though, don't have great numbers against the run, kind of like the Bills. And part of that reason is when you do blitz, you lose players on the second level. So if you can get through the first level and there are some seams and you can block that up, suddenly running backs have more opportunity, and then you can lead to a couple big plays down the field. So I don't know if the Falcons will continue to blitz as much against Josh Allen because he's typically pretty good against the blitz, obviously. But it is a hallmark of them. That's what they do. They blitz a lot. And I think the Bills would love to put the ball into James Cook's hands tonight. And, hey, if you're going to come at us and blitz, how do you slow that down? We're going to run at you, and then you have to stay on your heels, and you can't blitz. And then when the Bills want to throw, maybe they mitigate that pressure a little bit because the Falcons won't run it.
We have seen in consecutive weeks that that little play to Shakir, the wide receiver screen on the side where Allen kind of does that little sidearm throw, and it has been working for the last couple weeks. I'd imagine that's also a great way to mitigate a blitz happy team like that as well.
Yeah, for sure. And like, but it's a play that the Bills run quite a bit. So teams, they'll scheme up for it and they'll look at it on film. The Falcons will. They'll kind of be aware of it. But you're right. That's something you do. If a team's going to blitz and blitz from tackle to tackle, right? Then you get the ball to the outside to a receiver. And if he has a blocker, there might be, you know, opportunity out there. It's up to that first group that those receivers to block. And Shakir, in this case, you're talking about, or someone else, to make sure they make one move and get by one tackle. And, you know, you could be talking about an easy 4 or 5 yards, if not a nice big play.
Sal, when it comes to it, though, hopefully the Bills are able to get through this in the bye week. With all the injuries that they've had, typically I hate early bye week, Sal, but this is an opportunity for them to get to the bye week at 5-1 and have a chance to rest and recover, see if maybe you can even open some practice windows for some of the guys on injured reserve like Max Hairston, Tyler Bass, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, we'll see when they come back. So what'll happen is after this game, the Bills, you know, I think they'll meet back at the facility and might have, you know, they'll go over things and kind of have a shorter week, and then they'll be off next weekend, and then they'll get back to a regular practice week next week. If they're going to open a practice window, my sense is it wouldn't be till next week, not this week, because you wouldn't get any practices in this week. And then you still have to count those as your 21 days. The goal would be to get those guys on the practice field, Max Hairston or Tyler Bass, whoever it is. We'll see. We'll see if the Bills do that. And then they have 21 days to put them on the active roster. I like the bye week where it comes this year, specifically for the suspended players, though, Derek. I think because these guys are suspended for 6 games and the bye week falls right after week 6, They have an extra week to start preparing themselves for their first time on the field with the Carolina Panthers. Again, I'll say, though, it's not like there's going to be a lot of practices this week. That's not going to happen. But at least they can now do everything the rest of the team can do, whereas they haven't really been able to do that for the last several weeks. They were allowed to be at the facility after the 3rd game, but only in meetings and, you know, away from the practice field.
Sal Capaccio joining us here on the Westshore Hotline. Again, Bills Falcons 7:15 kickoff here. Sal, you've got yourself a busy day. I would imagine, though, that I'm excited to hear you on countdown to kickoff, though, because, again, the last game we saw, it's a bitter taste in the mouth, and you want to make sure that you see something better here and we can just get back to watching the Bills. After watching the entire league, yeah, it's great on a Sunday that you don't really have to worry about the Bills playing necessarily and everything like that, and you can watch across the league. But, Sal, the question for this is, around the NFL, is there a team that is like kind of more promising than others right now, even with all these winning records? I have question marks on every single team, especially in the AFC.
I think every team has warts. And This is wide open in the AFC. And that's why tonight's another big game and a big step for the Bills to try and, you know, get this thing to the 1 seed. That's the goal, right? Get the 1 seed, be at home for the playoffs, get that extra week off. Even the Chiefs last night, right? They did some really good things, but they also, you know, they've been a team this year that's had some warts, and we've seen that as well. There's no perfect team in the NFL. Heck, we just saw this week the Giants go to Philadelphia and beat the Eagles on Thursday Night Football, right? So, yeah, I don't think there's anybody that's running away, right? I mean, you look at the Broncos at 4-2, but they score 13 points in London against the Jets. Yeah, decent Jets defense, but they're not, their offense isn't a world beater right now. Even the Colts yesterday struggled without Kyler Murray at quarterback for the Cardinals to maintain 5-1, but they are 5-1, so give them credit for that, right? So it doesn't feel like, I mean, the Jags have that huge win against the Chiefs. Then what do they do yesterday? They lose at home to the Seahawks, 20-12. They scored 12 points against the Seahawks team that, you know, the previous week had given up 38 points against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So, hey, am I supposed to say it's a week-to-week league? Because if you want me to, I will, because that's what it is, Derek. It's a week-to-week league. You can't look at a team and say, and one of the things that happens all the time is, when a team like the Bills plays a certain way and people say, well, you can't play like that and beat the Chiefs. Well, that might be true, but they didn't play the Chiefs that game. You played a different team, so you had a different game plan, and the game went differently. So, right, I mean, they can't turn the ball over three times tonight like they did against the Patriots. I think that's just the – doesn't matter who you're playing, you can't do that. There is no team right now that's separating itself, and that's why the NFL – it's so great to watch on a week-to-week basis.
It's also hilariously maddening sometimes, Sal. It's great. It's maddening. It's the business that we're in, and it is how we pay the bills. But there's no better way to do it, I think, Sal. So I'll let you get going, though. Get ready for countdown later today, as well as being on the sideline for tonight's broadcast.
All right. Have a great one. Thanks.
Sal Capaccio there on the Western Hotline as Bills and Falcons... 7:15. I do like that. It's one extra hour that I don't have to be sitting in this building. I'm pretty sure, like, you ever see that grandma in the cage meme? That's me tonight. Derek's not getting out of the station until the Bills play a football game. They don't necessarily have to win, but they have to play. But that's a peak extra hour there. I'm here for that. Derek Kramer here with you. On the Extra Point Show and on a Buffalo Football Monday, it's the Catholic Health Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Bills Football Monday, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com, and by Northtown Hyundai, Western New York's premier Hyundai dealership. Shop online at northtownhyundai.com. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Yes, it's a Football Monday, but I do have to bicker a little bit about the Buffalo Sabres, but also be thankful for the New York Jets. Welcome back in to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Derek Kramer here with you. Bills, Falcons, 7:15 tonight. We've got the Buffalo doubleheader, so to say, as the Sabres take the ice against the Colorado Avalanche. That is a 12:30 faceoff at KeyBank Center. Nice little matinee day for everyone here. If you have the day off, by the way, I would suggest, yeah, why don't you go down to the Sabres game? But they also probably have made people pretty mad through their first two games. And it's only two games. I always am of the like that if you want to gauge a hockey team, you wait until at least the first 10 to 12 on what they're showing you. But, man, Sabres, they cannot have, they couldn't have started worse through their two losses to open the year. How bad is it, by the way, the first two games? Here's your depressing stat of the day. The Buffalo Sabres have as many goals right now to start this season through two games as Sharks enforcer Ryan Reeves. I see Owen, I think he's laughing at that.
Yeah, that's
Ryan Reeves.
That's a sad thing to think about.
Yeah.
It's sad to think about the fact that Ryan Reeves is still in the league to begin with.
You know the most sickening thing about it? It was a really nice looking goal by Reeves.
It was actually very skilled.
Very
impressive.
Who would have thought Ryan Reeves has it in him?
We talk about these Sabres guys, you know, Gjertsen and, you know, his fellow ilk of hockey player.
Rempe on the second power play, you know, for the
Travis
Rangers.
Travis McDermott, that kind of guy. They are, despite their roles, still very impressive hockey players.
Yeah. Have you ever played pickup with a guy like Andrew Peters?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He will dance around you like there's no tomorrow.
Make you look like a fool.
Make you look stupid.
Yeah, no doubt. But, so you see those flashes every once in a while, and that's what that Reeves goal was for San Jose. That was really
that
something.
Really was. And, like, granted, I said that about, like, you know, have you ever played pickup against an NHL enforcer? You're going to look silly. Mm-hmm. Reeves did it against the Ducks.
Right. That's the, that you can look silly out there listening. Ideally, you know, who's a defenseman even on the Ducks at this point? Not Cam Fowler anymore.
An
NHL-level defenseman does not get made to look silly by the likes of Ryan Reeves.
Until they do.
Yeah, then you've got issues.
That game was wild, too. There were like 6 goals apiece by them. Who ended up winning that game?
Because
I do remember,
I fell asleep.
Kreider tied it at 6-6. Right. What's that like, by the way? Ugh. 6 goals by each team in a game? I remember a couple years ago. That's fond memories right there. But yeah, no, the Sabres, you couldn't have started worse.
No.
Nightmare
start for them.
Nightmare start for them. We learned the hard way that there's only 72 of those chicken parms.
Yeah. Tough. I'm shooting down there right when we get off the air here, and I'm wondering, are there going to be any of those chicken parms left?
You know what? Kill the stream early. You got to get there like an hour before puck drop at this point
We're
already past it. You're already too late.
Indeed.
Probably. Indeed. Unfortunately. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe people are not feeling it. It's a holiday. It's a matinee. Maybe it's too early for that kind of thing.
It does seem a little early to eat a 4-foot sub. I will not argue that point. Not that it's not being done. I'm sure there's somebody in there going to town on it as we speak.
Yes. It was the sheer numbers of hey, there's 19,070 people and 18,998 of them will not be able to purchase this.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a lot of food, though. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt on that. Yeah, that's a lot that you have to make.
That thing's a massive. Yeah. They brought it in.
They brought it in for us
last week, and we were all looking at it. They brought us 2, and we're like, we did not need 2 of these monstrosities. I mean, we got 4 of us working the show. We'll be just fine with one.
But Zach and I took a couple of pieces of that as well. And welcome to my unhealthy obsession. I've got to give the credit there that at least they brought us something nice there.
For sure. Bring some goals today. That would be
Josh Norris cooler. Isn't going to do that. Elliot Friedman mentioning that he's reporting that Norris is going to miss probably around 8 weeks due to the injury that he suffered in the first game.
It's like 20, 30 games.
It's going to be around 20 games to start. So that's going to be tough.
Yeah.
Facing Colorado after the scars of last year is also going to be tough. But if I'm going to subscribe to my usual mindset, which is last year doesn't guarantee that this year is the same, then hopefully it's not an entirely maddening game, or they can get blown out 6-2 and it's not the same as the last 2 games against Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. But if you want to hear more on the Sabres and Sabres pregame, Brian Koziel has you covered over on our sister station, the Bet 1520, as the Sabres take the ice against the Avalanche in about an hour's time at 12:30. Why did I have to bring up the Sabres, though, today? It is for one reason. It's to laugh at the Jets. Wait, that's not how that's supposed to go, right? No, it is. The Jets at 0-6. Granted, they didn't need to fall to 0-6 for me to say this, because they were already in a wayward season. But man, as a Sabres fan, a Sabres supporter, thank goodness the New York Jets exist. Because if the Sabres are going to end up continuing a playoff drought, I hope they do not, at least the New York Jets are there. At this point, the Jets are going to start threatening the Bills on that playoff drought of 17 years. We are getting there. And it doesn't look like it's getting better anytime soon. Aaron Glenn does coach a little bit timid. Justin Fields is not it at quarterback, and any Justin Fields stands, they probably need to simmer down a little bit now. Not even a little bit, probably all the way. To have minus 10 net yards passing, though, is abhorrent. And also, I'd say, yeah, it's a blight on football. But considering how bad the Jets are, the Dolphins as well, you've got Tua calling out players being late to players-only meetings. I found that one weird, though, because a lot of people are criticizing Mike McDaniel for that. It's a players-only meeting. That means it's on Tua. If Tua's calling these players-only meetings and these players are late for them, that might mean something about what they think about Tua. at this point, unfortunately for him. It's probably an indictment on both the head coach and the quarterback. You probably establish a culture where you get to be a little bit more on the free-flowing side of things, hands-off, laissez-faire. But it just, it doesn't look like it's getting any better anytime soon for either of those organizations. And here come the Patriots again. Annoyingly so. But I think it has more to do with the fact that the Jets and the Dolphins in particular are staying in the basement fighting for last place to where it's not going to get any better for those teams anytime soon. I am curious to see if the Jets do end up surpassing the Bills' playoff drought of 17 years. It's going to be something to keep an eye on at this point, especially because the Bills are still the Bills. The Patriots are back now too, it seems. Maybe they're the benefactors of an easy schedule as well this year. But the Jets have a lot of that schedule, and it's not working for them. They haven't even gotten a single win yet. And with how Woody Johnson runs things with that organization, it's not going to get any better. So yeah, the Sabres may be down on their luck to start the year, but at least we have the Jets. Because if the Sabres are going to remain in a playoff drought, they're still not number one on the list for the longest droughts in major sports. 803-0550 is the number to call. We'll go to Mike. Mike, what you got for us? Welcome to the Extra Point Show.
Hey, guys. How are you? One of the things that yesterday I watched the Tampa game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys watched the Tampa game. But
I did, yes.
I just find it inconceivable that a team can have three great wide receivers, first of all, which we don't, and then have a number four, number five, number six wide receiver who run wide open the entire game, and we can't get a wide receiver to have any type of separation. We're 28th in the NFL in terms of wide receiver separation. It's either a Brady scheme problem or a talent problem, and it's just inconceivable that his wide receivers ran wide open against a good San Francisco defense yesterday, and we can't seem to ever make that happen.
Mike, I appreciate the call, and Tampa's become an interesting case. With how Mayfield's been playing, and I do think that a lot of it also might have to do with, at some point, once you get to like wide receiver 4, 5, and 6 are also getting open, it probably is scheme, and it is probably design at that point. Talent can only mean so much if you're going down the depth chart. The Buccaneers had all three of their top wide receivers injured at some point in that game, with Egbuka leaving the game against San Fran, and Mayfield still is performing at an apex style that you can never think right now that it's not Mayfield the favorite for the MVP. The way he's playing, it's got to be Mayfield, at least at the start. For how he's been performing, Baker Mayfield's absolutely one of those guys. Also, Bucky Irving's been out. They're missing both parts of the right side of their offensive line at right guard and right tackle. Their starter's injured. And Baker Mayfield keeps playing well and leading Tampa to wins. So yeah, it might be a skill issue. It might be a scheme issue. It might also be Mayfield's probably facing less too high safety. So a scheme issue, but on the other side. It can be a lot of things, and it's probably a combination of all of them. But yeah, I watch Drake May uncorking it against the Saints and putting up deeper and intermediate throws. Yeah, it's frustrating to watch a little bit right now, but at the same time, defenses are going to call it a little differently against certain quarterbacks. That is something that cannot be ignored either, is how I'd like to say that. Keep things going here as we get connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll go to Rob in Connecticut. Rob, welcome in. What you got for us?
What's going on, Derek? Just wanted to, and hi, Owen in the background. love listening to you as well. You know, I was sitting here listening to you last week when you were talking about that 2 foot chicken plum grinder and it supposedly feeds a family of four. And you said, I officially am announcing that I am a family of four. I spit my coffee out. You're hilarious.
By the way, I had a quarter of that sub. I am not a family of four.
Oh, all right. Well, I guess you know your limits then, right?
Learned it the hard way.
Yeah, exactly. So the other thing was I asked Joe, and you'll know where I'm coming from on this. So the chicken that they have for the chicken parm, did they order that from Sandusky, Ohio, and had a bald guy deliver it?
There is no bones in the chicken. That's the good news there, Rob. I know what you're calling back on there.
Yep, Sandusky, Ohio, buddy, you know. So listen, tonight, it's very, for me as a fan, as a Buffalo Bills fan, this is essential that we, I don't want the Patriots to be above us. You know, I just do not want that at all. But I think the most important thing is tonight, penalties kill me. I think that bothers me more than anything. It's like if we run a great play and we get a nice chunk yard or, you know, a nice pass down the field, and then all of a sudden flag on a play at the line of scrimmage, it's like already know it's coming back. It's just the stupid penalties, the mental mistakes that we make. And also Bijan Robinson scares me. I'm gonna admit it. And I even said that, you know, the Bills were gonna go 14-3 this year, but I didn't expect the Patriots to beat us because the teams that I saw beating us this year was Atlanta, Tampa Bay, and the Eagles. Now I don't know much about, I don't think the Eagles are capable because they're showing their true colors. So I don't know. It's just tonight's game is weird for me. I'm getting a weird vibe. I think if our offense plays a little bit better than what we did the last game, as far as DNA, as Sal Capaccio always talks about, then I think we should be fine. But Bijan Robinson scares me because of our run defense. So I don't know how you feel about that. I mean, everybody's been basically saying the same thing. But all right, let's go Sabres, 12:30, and let's go Bills. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Rob. Appreciate it. And when it comes to it, the penalties. Like, the one thing that will always irk me to my core is all the refs were against us. Sean Hockley hates the Bills. No. You don't get to say that when the Bills also committed double-digit amount of penalties against New Orleans the week before. It is, you're not playing clean football. You're playing a little bit sloppy enough that referee crews are going to flag you. Not 1 week where you have 10 penalties plus, but 2 weeks in a row? No. That's not an accident at that point. It's not, all the refs are out to get us. That's, you're not playing clean football and you need to be better. So that's how that goes. So to anyone that's blaming Sean Hockley exclusively for this sort of thing, spare me. Because the Bills did it in consecutive weeks with two different referee corps. Crews. I can't even talk anymore. I'm never blame the refs guy. Because there's a lot of factors that can always go into it. And there are always going to be more factors that go into a loss if they happen. We got one last segment here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here. Derek Kramer in with you. Thanks for being here with me on a lovely Monday evening. Or Monday evening. What the heck am I doing? On a lovely Monday morning here on a Buffalo Bills Football Monday. Last segment here of the Extra Point Show. And on a Buffalo Bills Football Monday, it's the Catholic Health Extra Point Show, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com, as well as by Northtown Hyundai, Western New York's premier Hyundai dealership. Shop online at northtownhyundai.com. Sabres playing in about 40 minutes against Colorado. Again, if you want to hear more on the pregame for that one, Brian Colziel, Paul Hamilton, they'll have you taken care of up until the 12:30 face-off over on our sister station, the Bet 1520. Meanwhile, here, it is a Buffalo Bills Football Monday continuing on throughout the day. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. I'm hoping
that we get ourselves a nice little Buffalo doubleheader victory sort of Monday that we can turn into a victory Tuesday. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but I got to rely on the Sabres to set the tone here. The Sabres playing against Colorado. Expected to see, per Lindy Ruff, by the way, Josh Dunn and Ryan Johnson are going to probably end up drawing into the lineup today against Colorado. As for the Bills and Falcons, we will keep pregame going for you all throughout today, as it will be One Bills Live coming up next here on WGR. Shelton Bulldog will take over with Bills game day, countdown to kickoff, get you ready to go here for 7:15 Bills and Falcons. I will be back with Zach Jones at midnight. That's right. My day has only just gotten started, baby. I'm a sicko, and I need to be given some sort of help. That help is that I'll have Zach Jones at midnight for the overtime show here on WGR. I'm stoked about the fact that I'm only going to be leaving at 1 a.m., Joe. Only until 1 a.m. That's big for me here. These last couple of games, it's been 3 a.m. that I've been walking out of this building, and that's okay. I'm perfectly fine with changing it up and only staying until 1 a.m. here today. Thank you to everyone that called in. Thank you to the chat, by the way. We're streaming. Bullpen, always a good time looking at the nonsense on the side there. Thank you to Sal Capaccio for joining us from Atlanta as he's getting ready to go from the sidelines there. You know what? I do it. I'm always a predictions guy, Joe. We're going to go with Bills 27, Falcons, I'm going to say 13. A good day for the defense here, as the Bills will be ready for their bye week. That'll do it for us here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. One Bills Live coming up next for you here on WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok's Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.